All season long, there's been a simmering debate. Do the Red Sox have enough of a bullpen? The bullpen by committee thing was tried in 03 and famously dashed when they finally buckled down and brought in Byung-Hyun Kim. Well, 16 years later, we once again maybe have reached that point where it's gimme Byung-Hyun Kim Kardashian, if it means not allowing two in the eighth and five in the ninth. It was a rainy, disappointing Tuesday night at Fenway. It's a game that got way away sometime around the stroke of midnight. Filled by those noted power hitters Greg Allen and Jordan Luplow in the ninth inning, yeah, Cleveland takes game two of the three-game series. We will grumble about it now on Sox Daily.
It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. Daily Sox Podcast. Oh, it's your Daily Sox Podcast. And here's your host, Josh Lewis.
Early in the evening Tuesday night, the first pitch thrower at the White Sox game went viral with a salute to 50 Cent. Some chick left-handed one from the mound at 55-degree angles, somehow, like, so far off to the left, it went right into the lens of the photographer's Nikon. That lady would have had a fit right in moment in the top of the ninth at Fenway. Josh Lewin with you. This was a scoreless game, believe it or not, through five and a half, and then just chaos. And we'll detail it for you at least a little bit here. It was a game delayed in the second inning, 69 minutes, giggity. A game where David Price sparkled, but then the bullpen pooped the bed. Cleveland had entered tonight 0-24 when trailing after 6. 0-23 when trailing after 7, 0-23 when trailing after 8. So that's a stunning five-run ninth for Cleveland, wouldn't you say? 7-5 Indians the final, and we'll get back to that ninth in just a moment. Let's lead with David Price, though, because he's now 7th in the American League in ERA. 2.83 as he goes 6 scoreless. He was matched against the rookie Zach Plesac, the nephew of Dan. And I tell you what, since Fenway opened, which I do believe was 1912, there have been only three pitchers who went at least five shutout innings at the Red Sox expense in their big league debuts. Kyle Davies did it in 05, Brian Tallett in 02, Derek Botello in 1982. Well, Plesac almost became the fourth man on this list. It wasn't until Bogart singled in Devers, who had tripled, and finally, he had some action in this game. First career triple for Devers, and let's stop down on that one for just a moment. That was a stunning realization that Devers had never tripled before. And we had talked a little bit earlier in this series about how maybe the most stunning thing in baseball right now is Cleveland doesn't have a single triple all year. I've always been fascinated by triples, so indulge me. I'm just going to get you away from the bullpen meltdown for a second. The most exciting play in sports, unless it's an inside-the-park home run, I get that. But it's also the least common sight in a baseball box score right now, except the balk and the triple play. At the turn of last century, home runs were the rarest hit in baseball, talking about 1900 or so. Now it is triples that account for about 1, maybe 2% of all base hits. Home runs account for about 15%. And parks are smaller these days. The hitters are bigger. You probably have heard all the reasons why. But a triple gets hit about every 205 at-bats these days. I was just surprised Devers had never had one. And part of it is risk-reward. You're told never to make the first or last out at third base. So why bust tail and take a chance on a triple when you're already in scoring position with your double? And nobody talks about this one, but to me, triples aren't usually a negotiating advantage come contract time. Jim Palmer tells a great story about how he once asked his teammate Davey Johnson why he pulled up at second late in a blowout game rather than coast into third with what looked like an easy triple. And reason was, Davey had a doubles clause in his contract. There is no such thing as a triples clause. As you look at the Red Sox triple leaders over the years, and I'm sure that's something you've done a lot, I'm just really interested in this. I mean, there have been very few Red Sox that actually lead the league in such a thing. You had Garcia Parra do it in 97. You had Johnny Damon do it in 02. Ellsbury came close to doing it in 09. But the last guy to outright lead the league in triples for the Red Sox before Ellsbury, I just found this fascinating, was Carlton Fisk. Yeah. the catcher. He was young then. It was 1972, but he led with 9. Jim Rice also had back-to-back 15 triple seasons. I never would have guessed that, did I not get my hands on a Red Sox media guide. So anyway, hope you like that interlude about triples. I'm just trying to distract you from the real nonsense of this ball game here on a Tuesday night. I guess when last we left, Price was wrapping up 6 innings, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts, nothing wrong with him. Brandon Workman, a scoreless 7th. But then Marcus Walden, who's getting the higher leverage looks of late, he faltered in the 8th. He allowed a couple of runs. He needed Matt Barnes to come in and get him out of the soup. And then the very forgettable 9th, where it was Brazier asked to bring it in, couldn't do it. Travis Lakins, who should not really even be on the team right now, I think we can all agree on that. Those two combined for 42 pitches, 5 runs allowed, couple of home runs, 4 walks. There was the tie-breaking double to freaking Jordan Luplow, which sounds like uh-oh, which is kind of where this went. Mookie probably should have made the catch. It was going to be a sac fly anyway to break a 5-5 tie, but he had the ball go out of his glove. It went for a double. So you got Brazier. Last year, 33 innings, 7 walks, 2 home runs allowed, okay? This year so far, it is 23 innings instead of 33. Same number of walks. He's already up to the 5 home runs allowed, not 2, and it's 10 earned runs as opposed to 6. So the Brazier magic has just kind of wafted away. And as for Lakins, the Ohio Stater, Sloopy could not hang on. 3 walks allowed and the key double to the career 211 hitter Jordan Luplow. Overall, in 3 innings of work, the bullpen needed 87 pitches, only 42 of which were strikes. And the game ended up getting tied in the 9th by a guy who had been 4 for 44 without a single home run. In fact, 3 career homers in 140 major league games. A guy by the name of Greg Allen, who played for the late Tony Gwynn at San Diego State. He's a nice kid, but he's just a placeholder for Bradley Zimmer, who's recovering from shoulder surgery. Not a guy who should be homering. You can make the argument that Roberto Perez should not be homering to lead off that inning either. But anyway, to the bottom of the 9th, the Red Sox actually had an opportunity. Mookie able to walk with 1 out. Devers gets one that maybe he could have crushed against Brad Hand, but he settles for a hard single to make it 2-on, 1 out. Up comes Bogarts with a chance to win it. Strikes out against an 80-mile-an-hour slider. So it's 2 out, 2 on for J.D. Martinez, who already had 2 doubles in the game, that after a 2-home-run game the night before. But more sliders from the Cleveland lefty, more sleight of hand, if you will, and the strikeout of J.D. Martinez ends the ball game. So a few other things that I guess we can point out is decent in this one. Devers, 2 more hits. He's hitting .329. Bogarts had 2 hits. We mentioned the 2 doubles from J.D. Martinez. Chavis, a couple really nice plays in the field, and he had an RBI in the game. Brock Holt comes back to the lineup. He has a hit. Steve Pierce with a hit and an RBI. Jackie Bradley got on base a couple times. So you put that in the blender along with Price and the scoreless inning from Workman, and those are the good things. But just watching that bullpen just completely blow it up, and the Red Sox now 29-26. They had a chance to gain a little bit in the AL East. They couldn't do it. They're now 6.5 behind the Yankees. And thankfully, those Padres went in and actually beat the Yankees in the rain in New York. But this was regrettable. It's the first time the Indians have trailed by 3 runs after 8 and still somehow won by 2 without needing extra innings, that is, since 05. So, man, and they scored 11 in the top of the 9th in that one back in 05 to beat the Royals. So very, very unusual that this Cleveland team could get this done. They're now even, Steven, 27-27. They needed that because Minnesota is pulling away in the AL Central. The Sox, as we mentioned, now 6.5 games out. And at least they're not going to get swept. And this is kind of a cool stat. Since August of 2017, the Red Sox have now played 70 series of at least 3 games. They have been swept only 1 time. That's amazing. That was last season in August at Tampa Bay. And I'll throw you this one. At least season finales have gone well this year. The Red Sox are 12-5 in the final games of a series this year. They're undefeated in their last 8. So we can look forward to that on Wednesday. Remember, the game has been moved up an hour, back an hour, that is, to accommodate for the Bruins game, too. So it's a 6:10 first pitch. We'll get to the actual starting pitchers for you in just a moment. But let's listen to Alex Cora trying to kind of deflect, as I've been doing throughout this podcast, trying to give you something else to look at, a little red herring, because it's just depressing thinking about this bullpen now becoming the problem a lot of people thought it was going to be. Here is Alex Cora after the game.
I mean, you saw what happened there. 3-2 count to Perez, and then the command wasn't there. You know, the slide of the fastball. So he tried to elevate against Allen. He wasn't able to get it there. He put a good swing on it. The walk before that, so I have to take him out there. You know, this stuff wasn't as crisp as we were talking about before the game. It seems like the fastball was had the hop the last few days, and the slider was a lot better than early in the season, but he didn't have it today.
How uncharacteristic was it to see Walden struggling to get the strike zone? And
I mean, he's been great dominating the strike zone. And we were trying to go away against certain batters. He was like just off, and it wasn't a good night for him either. You know, he was one of those that, like I said early today, you know, we got to find people to, you know, we're trusting guys to get high leverage outs in those situations. We had to bring Barnsey, and he did a good job, but, you know, we can't do that on a nightly basis. And those guys, you know, work, and Waldy had done an outstanding job. We stay away from him today. He's been pitching a lot, but there's stress there. It's just a bad night, you know. Too many walks and not commanding the pitches, and you know we pay the price.
And prior to that, what did you see from Price?
That was good. That was good. In tough conditions, obviously a rain delay, but he was able to give us the 6 innings. Command was good. Velocity was great. Just another good one for him. You start looking at numbers, and you know he's having a great season.
How tough was it there having to bring Barnes in early and kind of mess up the plan? Obviously, he would be kind of the ninth inning guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those. But you know, Wally has been amazing. You know, it's just that bad night. That's it. But you know, we were lined up for that. You know, work on Wally, and then go to Barnsey. And when we had to bring him for 2 outs, you know, that was it. You know, like I've been saying all along, we got to take care of him.
Other question? John, one more?
Are you rethinking at all the idea that you don't need a guy in the ninth inning? Has anything happened in the last couple of weeks to make you reconsider that?
No. I mean, we feel that we've done an outstanding job so far, so, you know, nothing's going to change right now.
All right, so there is the manager. The Red Sox losing for the second time this year when leading after 8. They're now 22-2. Famously, they lost only once all of last year in that situation. The 2 home runs in the ninth inning, that's the latest the team's allowed multiple home runs in a single inning during the regular season since 2017. They did that at Yankee Stadium. And a darn shame for Price, who continues to have the best ERA among Red Sox starters, but he's still stuck with not a lot of wins to show for it. So we promised you a look at what's coming up here. It's going to be Ryan Weber on Wednesday, and Alex Cora set some modest goals before Weber's last game. He said he hoped Weber would just last 4, maybe 5 innings. Well, a 28-year-old righty did a lot better than that. He allowed 1 run over 6 in that game up in Toronto that the Sox won on a day game, getaway game 8-2. Weber giving up 3 hits. He struck out 4, didn't walk anybody. 93 pitches, only one of which reached 90 miles an hour. But he worked both sides of the strike zone very well. I thought he was very good. Shane Bieber will go for Cleveland. That's another Cleveland player with a musical tint to his name. They already have Carlos Santana. And now here's Bieber, who just turned 24. They've got a lot of young pitchers. Kluber is their only starter born in the 80s, and of course he's out right now. Bieber, the UC Santa Barbara product, the Gauchos, their playful motto out there is, "We Gaucho back." And in a way, that's what Bieber is around to do for their bullpen. He's not the headline guy in the rotation. He's basically in the rotation to chew up innings and make sure everything is in order. Guy that throws a lot of strikes, throws a lot of sliders, especially this year, 33% sliders as opposed to about 20% last year. He just throws strikes. He doesn't beat himself. He knows who he is, doesn't try to be Trevor Bauer or Kluber or whatever. He's a guy with a 5-to-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio for his career. So that's what the Sox are up against, that and trying to just shake the memory of probably the worst loss of the year. I mean, there were a bunch of really bad ones on that first road trip, I understand. Believe me, I was there and I watched it with my own 2 eyeballs. But I'm sorry, when you're up 2 and then give up 5 in the ninth and you're giving up the big hits to guys like Greg Allen and Jordan Luplow, and you just can't throw strikes, it's time to maybe reevaluate and reassess. I mean, this is not Chicken Little stuff. This is not just kind of flying off the handle because one game did not go well. And I heard the same interview you did with Alex Cora. It sounds a little whistling past the graveyardy right now. And you can point to the numbers and say that, hey, the bullpen's ERA this year, almost exactly the same as the bullpen's ERA last year. But it's the eyeball test. You just look at what it appears to be. You feel what you feel. If anybody saw that stupid-ass Pikachu movie, the Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu, he says you feel it in your jellies, and he can't articulate exactly what jellies are. In fact, he admits he just made it up. But down in your jellies, do you really feel comfortable about Brazier right now? And even Workman with a scoreless inning in this one, with a solid ERA, very few hits allowed, he's just walking too many. And I love the Ryan Weber story, but it just seems like the shine is off that star a little bit of late. Travis Lakins is working in the ninth inning in a tie game. I mean, that's what we're looking at here, and that tells me that maybe it's time to make an adjustment. But there's always Craig Kimbrel. There's always a trade possibility. I wouldn't mind seeing Kirby Yates as a Boston Red Sox, but I think the Padres are going to want to hang on to him because they think they're still in a race over in the NL West. But there will be other ideas that come up, I'm sure. And again, you're trying not to overreact just because of one really bad night out of the bullpen, but you got to call it what it is. This was a really bad night out of the bullpen. So let's move along. Let's look forward to Wednesday. Hopefully Ryan Weber, the baby-faced assassin, can get something done here. Congratulations to Devers on that first triple. Hope you enjoyed that little sidelight. That's about all I got. Signing off for now, Josh Lewin. Again, the final 7-5 Klee on a rainy Tuesday at Fenway. Bye-bye.